What's going on, everybody? This is the I Am Pitts podcast, and this is your host, Dexter Pitts, otherwise known as DP. The opinions and views you're about to hear in this podcast are the opinions and views of mine and mine alone, and they are not a reflection of my department or any other organization that I am a member of. With that said, let's get into some deep thoughts. So imagine you have been a police officer for 26 years. You have honorably served the community. You have done your job, and you can retire and walk away. You could be somewhere sitting on a beach collecting your pension, sipping on your favorite drink, sleeping, relaxing, listening to the tide roll in and out. You could be living your life after having sacrificed 26 years in public service to a city, to a community. You don't have to be in that position, but you choose to be in that position. Then imagine one day you wake up, you go to work, and you encounter a young man that has warrants and decides he doesn't want to go to jail. And imagine instead of pulling your taser, you accidentally pull your firearm and you shoot and kill this young man who had warrants. And just like that, in the blink of an eye, your 26 years of service, no matter how good or how bad your service was to the community, your 26 years is defined by that one single mistake, that one single moment. And the fact that you didn't have to be there that day, you could have retired a long time ago. The fact that everything you did the past 26 years is null and void. Now, after serving your community for 26 years honorably, you're facing jail time. Your pension? You could possibly be kissing your pension goodbye. Was it worth it? What do you do now? And that is what we have going on currently in Minnesota. I believe it's the shooting of Dante Wright. You know, it's a tragic situation all around when you think about this thing, man. You know, Mr. Wright should have not resisted arrest. We could say that all day. We know that. But we as police officers are trained to deal with people who resist us. We are trained to deal with that day in and day out. But we have to realize that resisting arrest is not an offense punishable by death. But at the same time, Dante Wright made his mistakes and chose his path in life. The officer involved in this, we have to be honest. Do we think that she woke up that morning and decided to be, from what the media is making it seem out to be in the social media, that she's just this evil, racist person? Now, let's use common sense here for a second. She has worked for 26 years as a police officer. Could be retired on a beach, sipping on Mai Tais, sipping on Coronas, doing her thing, but she's still serving the community. What person thinks that she just decided to wake up that morning and throw all her 26 years away for nothing? What logic do you have in your mind that thinks that she did that intentionally? There is no logic for that. But the media is going to tell you that, yes, she's this evil, horrible person. And you know what? That is not the case. I don't know her. But I have a hard time believing that she woke up that morning and decided to just shoot and kill this young man just because, and to throw her 26 years of service to the community away. Why would she do that in knowing that you're going to go to jail in this climate? So you can't sit here and tell me that she is a bad person or that she is a racist. You know what she is? I believe that she's a decent person who's been a cop for a long time that made a mistake, a tragic mistake, a fatal flaw that has now ruined everything she's worked for. I don't think she's a bad person, but I think she's a cop that had a very bad day. And as we know, in the law enforcement profession, your worst days are on display for everybody to criticize. Everybody from the media, everybody across the world, and even more so the people you work with. That is the unique thing about this job, is that no matter what you do, somebody always has something to say about what they would have done different, about what they would have done better. But as I say, most people criticize cops from behind the comfort of their cell phones, with no stress. They criticize cops from behind the comfort of the cell phones, knowing that, hey, I can see and tell everything I would have done if I was her, because I know better, because I'm better than that. But, you know, this is the only profession in the world where people feel that are not trained to do what police officers do, but people feel that they have the right, and people feel that they have the education and the judgment needed to do a police officer's job. When the truth of the matter is, nobody does what police better. Nobody does what police do better than police. I say, I don't see anybody going and telling their surgeon or their doctor how to operate and fix them and heal them. When you go to have your knee replaced, you don't tell your surgeon what to do to fix you and make you better. You let your surgeon figure that out because your surgeon has been trained. But like I said, policing is the only job in this country where we just love to tell officers what to do and how to do their job and how to be better at it. And people do this without training, without stress. People do this without any sort of experience. And they expect us to just listen and do what they say when they've never been in a fight in their life, when they've never had to chase somebody down a dark alley, and you don't know if this person has a weapon or not. People can say all these things, but they've never gone into a house by themselves while their backup's still far away to help a lady that's screaming for her life as she's involved in a domestic incident with her husband and her husband's about to kill her. You know, it's easy to make these calls in comfort. Always easy. But see, we don't have that luxury. See, police officers, we live our lives on the edge of the thin blue line. We live our lives on the edge of that chaos that people are afraid to dive into. See, we run towards the sound of gunfire where everyone is running away. But it's those same people that are running away from the gunfire that are telling us how we should approach the situation and resolve it. Only in this profession. You know, it's the more and more I see the news and what's going on social media, the more and more I'm seeing officers constantly being ostracized and being told what they should and should not do. I don't see anybody else out here putting it on the line day in and day out for the community besides police officers. Activists claim that they here for the community, but let's be honest, we just saw a couple of BLM activists who purchased mansions far away from the community they love and serve. But you can go down to any impoverished community and you can find a police officer that has been there for 10, 15 plus years working to make that community better, working to establish some sort of relationship with those who live within the confines of that community. You know, and it's so easy for activists to say that they're there for the community but have not done anything. Then you have the officer up in Minnesota who had done this for 26 years. Made the biggest mistake of her life, and now her entire life is over. So easy to sit on the sideline and criticize when it's not you. And I'll be honest, you know, I was critical of her at first too. I have questions, but now that time has gone by and I realize, you know what? I want to say that wouldn't be me, but I have come to learn in this profession. Never say it cannot be you. Never think it's gonna be you. You never know from call to call what you are going to run into when you're wearing this uniform and executing your duties daily as a police officer. You never know. You know, I've been back with LMPD now for almost coming up on a year in June. You know, I remember when I came back, how excited I was to be back, how much I love my job and being back with the men and women of Louisville Metro Police Department. I'm still happy to be back. I love what I do and I love my job, but more and more, the more I continue to do this after 10 plus years, the more I see that no matter how much I love my job will never love me back. You know, once in a while, my job throws me at something like a paycheck. I get a little bit of overtime. I get to help people sometime. I get a few thank yous here and there, and it feels good, but is that enough to sustain me? And my fellow officers have to wonder, is this enough to sustain yourself and your family? Because you love this job, but this job takes everything from you. It takes your time. It takes your health, your physical health. It takes your mental health. It takes your money sometime. because you have to buy some of your own equipment. Your stuff breaks, you got to replace it yourself. It steals your peace. You know, I remember when I came back initially, right after the riots initially started. I remember after my first skirmish in the streets, when driving home, not feeling safe. I was worried that somebody was going to follow me and try to hurt my family. Not because they knew me, but just because I was a part of this organization that they hated with everything and all their being. And they just wanted to hurt people, hurt police officers. There were people when I was on the line talking about how they couldn't wait to hurt and kill my family. And this has been said to other officers. I remember one guy my buddy had tackled, and he told us, he was like, oh, just wait, we're coming to your homes and your houses. We're coming for your families. You know, I remember driving home that night, taking a different route, way different than I've ever gone home. And after that, I started choosing many different routes to get home. Because like I said, I'm not worried about my safety. If you want me, you can come and get me. But my family's off limits because my family has nothing to do with any of this. I remember parking my police car a quarter mile away from where I lived and walking because I was afraid to put my police car anywhere near where I lived in case I had missed somebody following me. Who wants to live like that? But you know, I understand the risk I assume when I put on this uniform. I understand all that comes with this job, and I love this job. But I'm at a certain point now where it's like, at what point is it not worth it anymore? Because like I said, I love what I do. I love people. I love serving people. But at what point do I put myself, my family, my mental health, and my physical health before the community? Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, if I take this uniform off and walk away, this city will go on. This police department will go on. Because when I take my last breath on this earth, it is more than likely not going to be the city there at my bedside or the people that I have helped along the way. It is going to be my daughter, my son, my wife, and my family members. They're going to think about all the sacrifice Daddy made, the sacrifice that her husband made all those years and put his family on the back burner to serve the community. And I'm now at a point to where I received a blessing a couple weeks ago where I can walk away from this profession right now and I could be okay. And I can live a normal life and I can be home every night, not have the stress of going to work and possibly getting killed, not have the stress of going to work and worrying if I'm making the right decision or not in the heat of the moment, not have to worry about being judged by an entire world and a group of people who have no clue or idea what we do. I can live that life right now, but I can't just walk away. I don't know how to take off the uniform because this uniform is all I've known for 10 years. My time in the military, service to the country, wearing a uniform is all I have known and being a servant. Like I said in my first episode, the S in the last name Pitt stands for selfless. All I have ever known is to be a servant of the Lord and to serve people as best as I can. But service comes at such a high price and a high toll. And you can only do it so much until it just drains your soul and you're just tired. But you keep doing it because you believe in what you're doing. You believe in your service to the country. You believe in your service to the community. But also, what about your service to your family? And sometimes that has gotten lost with me personally. As a person who truly loves deeply and believes in people, believes in this country, and just wants to see the good in people and want to see people do well in life. Nothing breaks my heart more than seeing somebody in struggle or in a bad situation. But nothing lifts my heart more than when I'm able to step into somebody's situation and help them out of that. Give them a second shot or a chance at life or help make their life better, if just for the moment. That's what being a police officer is. And like I said, it has its rewards. But at what point do the rewards stop being enough to make you come back and put the uniform on every day? know, this is all I've ever wanted to do. I have loved this job so much, and I still do. But every day that goes by, and I watch the news, and I watch the media, the things that's going on across the country, how police officers are being treated and targeted, how there's no support from command staff, politicians are aiming at us, and we are the low-hanging fruit that everybody can just gather around and pummel, and just pull down and beat down, and we as police officers carry the burden of this entire country. You name a problem that goes on in this country, at the bottom of the chain, you have the police officers of America on the front line, at the bottom of this pile, trying to hold this place together. And people are sitting here telling you all that police are the issue and police are the problem and that we need to go away. Think about what type of country this would be if you picked up the phone to call 911 and no one responded. I know for a fact that most people out there, a lot of people are sheep and have no clue what really goes on behind the scenes. I know for a fact that most people could not survive without 911. Most people would not be able to survive if everything went off the grid and they couldn't go to the grocery store to get their food. Most people would not be able to survive if the entire infrastructure of this country collapsed. But a lot of police officers would. But yet, here we are, people trying to get rid of the people that keep the chaos from coming to our front doors. Being demonized for trying to do a job that is so hard, it wears on your soul. Because I know cops. I know Louisville Metro police officers. And these are some of the most caring, loving, and giving men and women that I have ever had the honor and pleasure to serve with. There is a reason why, after my time in the Border Patrol and my time with the Sahrita Police Department, that I was watching the riots unfold in Louisville and I knew I had to come home because I needed to be next to those men and women that I had served with for 8 years at that time. I needed to be back by their side. And I remember coming back and seeing everybody. I knew that when I came back, this place had changed. Not just this place, but this career field. I have seen tired officers before, but the look on the officers' faces when I came back to Louisville Metro Police Department, standing under that overpass, they were tired. Tired, man. They hadn't had a day off in almost 30 days. Everybody was exhausted physically and mentally. And I was so happy to be back. And I'm still happy to be back, but as they all said to me, Dexter, are you crazy for coming back here? You know, I wish I could answer that question. How do you walk away from a $100,000 federal job to come back to the chaos and be the target of, activists and politicians? You see, because when I took on this job in 2009, it was never about the money for me. I never cared about what I got paid. I was just happy to wear the uniform and be a part of the Thin Blue Line, be on the team. And you know what happens sometimes? As you get older in this career, you get married, you have kids, and you start thinking about things like finances, insurance, retirement, pension. And yeah, you still love the community and you want to serve, but you also want your family to have a blessed life. You want your family to have everything they want and need. And see, for me, I had always wanted to be a federal agent. That is always one of my goals, and I got to do it. And the bonus of it was I got paid $100,000 to do this job. But lo and behold, I get there, and God helped me quickly realize that, Dexter, this is not about the money. I made more money with the Border Patrol than I ever made in my life. And at the same time, I was also the most miserable I have ever been. I hated getting up and going to the border. I hated it. And I realized what I was missing. See, I had made some great friends and brothers and sisters. The Naco Cuatro, my peeps in the Border Patrol, what's up? Love y'all, man. Great people, yo. But I missed the people I had served with here in Louisville. Not just that, I missed the community that I served. I missed that interaction that I used to have. Yo. And so I walked away from the Border Patrol. And see, I went to another police department thinking that this was going to be the place that gave me that fulfillment that I had in Louisville Metro Police Department. Man, the place, Sarita Police Department, treated me like a king. Bought my weapons and uniform. I didn't have to do anything, you know, but it was so different. And it just wasn't home. And I soon realized that, yeah, I had my own desires, but God gave me the desires of my heart to be a federal agent. But God made me realize that, Dexter, your purpose is with the Louisville Metro Police Department. That is home. This was your original blessing. And see, I told God that I had outgrew my blessing and I needed more money. And God gave me the desires of my heart, and I learned the hard way. And so now I found myself back in Louisville. And now I'm struggling to come to grips with being back here because see, I love my job. I love what I do. The people I work with are awesome. But the external circumstances right now and the climate in this country makes it hard to do this job. And the problem is, you have people like me who really love the community, who really love being a police officer. But that doesn't matter to some of these protesters out there. They want all of us gone. They believe that there's no such thing as a good cop. And see, what we're having now with the Louisville Metro Police Department is you have officers, well-qualified officers, well-trained officers, seasoned veteran officers that are leaving this profession in droves. And we are being left with not the best, not the cream of the crop. We're being left with people who just want a job, who just want a paycheck. And see, you can get by in this job like that, but you can't make an impact in the community just doing this for a paycheck. Because if you just do this for a paycheck, you lose sight of what it is to be a police officer. If you're doing this for a paycheck, you are out of your flipping mind. Because there's not enough money somebody should be able to pay you to be threatened, shot at, cursed out daily, and constantly have your life and everything you do under scrutiny and fire. If you're doing this for a paycheck, you're out of your mind. I don't know how you do it. I say, for me, this isn't about the paycheck. The paycheck is the bonus. But I need more than just a paycheck. Because the things that drew me to this job are still there. But those external factors are starting to snuff out the fire that lives within individual police officers that makes them get up every morning to come to work. Yeah, we got some guys that are just trying to make it through the next year's few years to get their pension and get out of here. And I don't blame them. I mean, how could anybody blame them seeing what happened to the officer up in Minnesota? If you hit your time, you're 20 or you're 25, and you're hanging around, I might say you are crazy because you don't know what's going to happen on that next call or that next run. And your pension could be gone. And you could be going to serve 5 to 10 to 15 years in the penitentiary because you made an honest mistake at work. And everybody's going to judge you off of that one mistake. Never mind the 20, 25 years you did on the streets. Never mind all the kids you helped. Never mind the times you've gone to talk to people at schools. All that goes away if you make that one bad decision. You know, and I'd be a fool to believe, any of us in this profession would be a fool to believe that it can't happen to us. You'd be a fool to believe that that's them. That'll never happen to me. Like I put on a post on my Facebook today that said, it don't matter where you work in this country. It don't matter what police chief you work for, what city or what state. These people have it out for law enforcement right now. And if you make that one decision, everything you have worked for could be gone and up in smoke just off of one bad call. And you have to ask yourself every day you get up and put this uniform on, is it worth it? You know, I think it's worth it. People tell me I'm crazy for being here still, but I really do. I have to be optimistic about this because I feel like this is where God has ordained me to be. This is where God has ordained me to serve. Like I said, I left. I went away from this place and I intended on never coming back. But when God calls you to a certain place, there is where you shall dwell and do his work. And I feel like I am doing the Lord's work in the streets of Louisville. But guess what? Serving the Lord is not easy. Serving the people is not easy. It is a tedious undertaking. It is tiring. It wears you out. And sometimes it gets hard to get up in the morning and do it because you know the outcome that day. Somebody's going to hate you no matter what you do. You're going to make a call, a decision that you think is the right decision, and somebody's going to have something bad to say about it. And we do this day after day after day after day. You know, but at a certain point, where is the silent majority that we constantly talk about? You know, I keep hearing about the silent majority, and I want to believe that the silent majority is out there. Because there have been times where I've just simply gone to fill up my gas tank and I get a, hey, thank you for your service and what you do. Or somebody randomly pays for my meal or my friend's meal. The silent majority is out there, but they're not making themselves heard at this time. You know, they make themselves known to us one-on-one, but not on a larger scale. Because we got to think, if we go away, the police go away, that small percentage of the population that wants chaos, they're going to win. And we can't allow them to win. Because let's be honest, 90% of the people in this country are good people, good, honest, hardworking people that just want to be left alone. But that small 10% wants chaos, wants division. So my question is, those of you sitting at home, seeing and hearing all of this go down, where are you? Because all that takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Like I said, we the police can hold the line, but that line is getting thinner and that line is getting harder and harder to hold on our own. We need the backing of the community. I want to say we need the backing of politicians, but you know what? As I say, these politicians don't care about you. They don't care about me. They care about their pension. They care about their money. They care about their positions and they care about their power. And if they got to step on you and I to get it, let's be honest, they're going to do it because that's what they've been doing. We have to take care of each other as a team, man. We have to do this as a community. But there's just so much division right now. It's where do we go from here? Because where we're going right now is scary. Man, I drove through Minneapolis the other day, driving from North Dakota. And I swear, I drove by the 4th Precinct in Minneapolis. Man, I thought I was back in Iraq for a moment. I remember seeing the concrete barriers. The fences had been erected by the barriers. And there was concertina wire stringed all around. And I remember driving by and I saw a single National Guard troop standing at the entrance to this police station by this concertina wire. It was only one way in and only one way out. And that is the condition those guys in Minneapolis are working in right now, where they are under serious threat. Somebody drove by the other day with a drive-by and shot at these guys. Shot two National Guard troops. And this is happening on American soil. And nobody's saying anything about it. Now, I hear the cries for justice, and I understand that. But at what point do we start treating each other and be as human beings and being decent to one another, instead of trying to shout each other down and win each other over in an argument? When do we stop arguing and start talking and just listening? We are at a tipping point in this country right now. And I'm at a tipping point in my personal life. You know, I told my wife, the problem with me is I've never had a plan B because this was always what it was supposed to be for me. Wearing this police uniform. This was the only future I knew, I wanted, and the only future I saw. Now I find myself having a question. If not a police officer, who or what is Dexter Pitts? Because like I said, I can walk away from this job now and be okay financially. But that is not why I live my life. I don't live my life to just be okay. I don't live my life to just avoid trouble. I don't live my life to just be comfortable and just sail through and not think about anybody else that's struggling. I live my life to serve the people, to serve God. And I can't do that just sitting on the couch, collecting a check from the government. That will never be me. I know there's other ways to serve, but wearing this uniform is the only way I know how to do it. Because if I'm going to serve the people, I'm going to get down into the trenches with the people that need me. And I ain't going to get down into the trenches and serve with the officers of the Louisville Metro Police Department. But like I said, when is enough enough for me? Because eventually, I'm going to hit my breaking point. I already have my line in the sand where I have decided that once qualified immunity is gone, so is my service to the community. But we are losing officers every day. And their line in the sand has not even been crossed, but they see what's coming. I can only hope that the American people see what's going on and wake up. Yes, there's no call for change. There's call for justice. I understand the protesting. I understand all of it. But demonizing an entire profession because of a few people here and there, and the media with its lies, misleading people, categorizing all of the officers as racist, just unacceptable, and it's not true. Like I said, it is these white officers that I have served with for years who have honorably served within the black community to keep the community from diving into even more despair and danger. I've served with these men and women for 9 years. Like I said, I've walked away from them to chase a dream of becoming a federal agent, and I did it. But I found myself right back here because I really believe this is where God wants me. And I found myself praying now more and more than ever, asking God what is His will for my life, because I knew what my own will was for my life when I left. I knew that I was going to be making a lot of money. And I thought I was going to have more time with my family. And God gave me the desires of my heart, and it went south real quick. So I got to believe that He has me here for a reason. Although I can't see that reason right now, I'm hoping that He reveals it to me and gives me something to help me keep going. Because like I say, I love my job, but I'm tired and I'm running out of energy, just like everybody else. Because it takes a lot to love people that don't love you. It takes a lot to love people that hate you. It takes a lot to serve people who want to see the meanest, dirtiest, and nastiest things done to you. And not just you, your family. It takes a lot out of you. Like I say, I'm fighting as hard as I can for the community, but I'm also fighting as hard as I can for my fellow officers. And like I say, it's taking a toll. And not just me, it's taking a toll on my family. It's taking a toll on everybody that's wearing this uniform across the country right now. So I can only hope that by some chance and some miracle of God, that what we're going through is just a moment in time, that it will pass and that things will get better. I have to believe that. I have to be optimistic, because the pessimistic side of me says that it's not going to get better and it's only going to get worse. And I can look at the news media and believe that all day, but I have to find something for myself to hold on and keep fighting. Because like I say, I love this country, I love this community, and I believe in what it stands for and everything. And I believe that the Louisville Metro Police Department can be great again. I believe that we have some of the greatest officers this country has to offer. But the media constantly stands in the way of that greatness, spreading lies and deceit. You know, but we also have officers sometimes that make mistakes, because what people have to realize is that there are good officers and that there are corrupt officers. I don't believe in the whole bad cop thing, because a good cop can have a bad day. I'm a good cop, but I've had bad days. I've never gone out of my way to do anything criminal, but there have just been days where I didn't sleep well. There have been days where I'm not feeling well. And I don't do my job as well as I could have. Or I don't take that extra step to help somebody that's in need that day. Because I'm struggling. I'm having problems at home. I'm having issues with PTSD or whatever. You know, there's no such thing as a bad cop. But I do believe that there are such things as corrupt cops. And that's a complete different story. When you have a cop that goes out of his way to do the wrong thing time and time again, that's a problem. We can't afford that on this department. We can't afford that in this profession. Because like I say, carrying this badge on your chest is a heavy, heavy thing. And all it takes is one corrupt piece of garbage to ruin it for all of us. And we have seen that time and time again. However, they paint us all with a broad brush when one person does one thing bad on this department or in this uniform. And that's not the case, because let's be honest, that's the easy, lazy way of thinking for some people, to just brush everybody with the same brushstroke. All black people are bad. All white people are racist. all cops are horrible people. None of that's true. We have to be able to think for ourselves. We have to be able to think intelligently and think critically. We can't judge everybody off of one person's decision. But if that is what we are doing right now in this country on multiple fronts. So I just want to ask you all, take the time, step away from social media, think for yourself, step away from the news, and break these things down that you see for yourself and think for yourself. Don't let the news tell you what to think. Don't let activists tell you what to think. Don't let your cop buddies tell you what to think. Don't let me tell you what to think. Look at the situation yourself and come to your own conclusion. All right, man. Got a little heavy and got a little deep, but like I say, it's only so heavy and so deep because I care so much. If I didn't care, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't care, I wouldn't be sharing my thoughts with y'all right now. I love you all. Like I say, I love the community. I love this country. I love those on the left. I love those on the right. I love Christians, Catholics, Buddhists, atheists. I love gay people. I love trans, brown, yellow, whatever. I just love people. You know what? And I want that. I want to feel that love return sometimes. And even if that love is not returned, I'm going to do what my Lord and Savior has instructed me to do, is to continue to love those that I deem unlovable. But I have to remember that even if these people offend me, that they are still God's children. And I have to continue to go forward in that love. Like I say, this Christian walk is not easy. The police walk is not easy. And if anybody could do it, you know, if everybody could do it, everybody would, but not everybody can. It's not easy, but I got to believe that things are going to get better here shortly. I hope so. All right, y'all take it easy, and I'll see y'all on the next one.